So where's Paladin?
Detroit.
So you think he's dead?
Well, that's a general assumption until he pops up.
Yeah. Well, when was the last time he was on Twitter? Oh, look. Hey, Mickey can now participate in this chat. I guess he didn't need to update after all.
Or he updated very quickly.
No, that's impossible. You never update that quickly.
No. Not with Skype. Not on Windows.
He's on a Mac.
Oh. I thought he got something. Never mind.
Is it working?
No.
No.
Did you type anything? You're typing.
Now you're not typing.
You can't have updated that quickly. Drippy labias. Okay, yeah.
Intro okay. Quote.
Thank you, Mickey. That was kind of a letdown, honestly.
How did
can anyone read that?
No, I can't, actually. It's all blurry for some reason.
I think you smeared some of your pork rind grease on your monitor. You might want to wipe that off.
In Georgia, pork rind grease is also called lube.
Well.
Also intro quote.
This is Superhero Time. With XV.
You, Detroit.
Hey, Mickey.
Your donuts.
Paladin.
Roses are red, violets are blue. You're really hot, but...
Ken.
95% of it is like, I want to f*** this asshole.
And Fort Max.
Dude, what the f***?
Okay, so this week on Superhero Time, JDF did something. Paladin, what did JDF do?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The correct answer is, who gives a f***?
All right, so what's in the news, Paladin?
Did he actually do something? I haven't been paying attention.
I stand by the correct answer.
Jason David Frank is supposed to be showing up at SDCC with Saban Brands and Lionsgate, which I guess should probably telegraph what's probably going to happen, since Lionsgate has a MMPR movie coming out.
Not necessarily. It could be that Jason David Frank said, hey, you guys are doing something, let me come too. People love me.
I have my own costume, sure. You guys. I have my own costume. You don't even need to... I can bring my own. Can I come?
And Saban and Lionsgate said, well, Jason David Frank is a big draw, so sure, they'll get people to page into what we're actually doing.
Maybe.
Now, Ken and I talked about this a little bit before the show started.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So my theory is, remember 2009 Star Trek?
We try not to, but go on.
So, you know...
Tommy Prime.
Yes, exactly.
Tommy Prime. Thank you, Fort Max. just leap right ahead of us. And the setup and everything, but okay, go ahead.
Well, the punchline's what everyone loves.
And Fort Max didn't even explain the joke, so it's fine.
But like the picture of him they have to promote this is that suit is not becoming anymore.
No.
If you haven't
seen it.
It's becoming something. It's becoming something, all right.
Oof.
Oh, yeah.
How many
shirtless Power Ranger peoples?
Yeah, okay, so going back...
Exactly.
Spittoon.
Going back sort of to our previous conversation from the pre-show, how many girdles does it take to contain the center of Jason David Frank?
That's even using a girdle?
The world may never know.
Did his morpher get smaller? Or did he get larger?
Yes. No, I think it's pretty much he got larger. There's no yes to that. It's yeah.
I'll give him this. It's not cropped very well because he's in a wide-legged stance. They cropped it right above the crotch line, so it looks like, you know, he's just sort of ballooning outwards towards as you go down.
Yes, it looked like he
that's sort of incompetent photoshopping right there. But
he probably
around the gut section above the belt. You can see, yeah,
he probably did it himself.
Probably either him or Saban. And hey,
and look at the lens flares on the shield.
I know, that's great.
Yeah, Jason David Frank is actually the only reason people are going to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Of course.
And yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of Green Ranger, someone made a awesome quilt shield for their SHF.
Picks.
Oh yeah, I saw this. I don't have a picture of it though.
I have no idea where those photos went.
I do.
Don't say something like that unless you have something to back it up with. Anyway, while we're waiting on this entertaining podcasting.
Got it.
There it is.
There what is?
Oh.
Click.
That thing.
Oh, God. I'm fine about that. Okay. Beautiful.
Isn't it?
I'm kind of disappointed Gigabeetle didn't get to it first.
A little bit. But his would have just been like cardboard.
That wouldn't have been wrong.
No.
Surely it would have been aluminum foil.
Colored in like a highlighter.
Yeah.
Plus, if you color aluminum foil with highlighter, you get all kinds of fun fumes.
And you can eat the aluminum foil, makes your teeth feel amazing.
Does it?
Yeah, try it.
I'll pass.
You know what really makes your teeth feel amazing? Drinking like 5 gallons of oil. Ken, you should try that!
Now, that was last week's episode. No reruns.
No, but Gigabeetle tried to make him eat aluminum foil last week, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did. I thought that.
We're having too much fun with the oil, I guess.
Intro quote.
Again with the oil.
Intro quote.
Are you okay, XV?
I'll be fine, just go on with the news.
XV is just delighted by your suffering.
Well, at least I did something right tonight, then.
Ken, don't you want to come and visit with us at the end of the month?
If I had money, I would. Only downhill to go from here, Paladin. Come on.
Okay, couple of reveals from the Tokyo Toy Show in Japan over the weekend. First up is a Chogokin Tokyo.
And not Super Robot Chogokin, right? But Chogokin. Soul
yes.
Chogokin.
So it has parts and it has elbows now.
Yes, but what else?
For 12,000 yen.
But what else?
And they're also going to be releasing the Darkliner Robo.
What the hell?
Huh.
Exactly.
I don't oppose this.
I heard the elbow attachment thing was coming with like a rainbow line thing that was like tracks and the elbows for Tokyo.
There's no confirmation of that yet. We just know it has extra bits.
Mm-hmm.
It looks dumb.
Well, it's Tokyo.
Yeah, but it doesn't look appealingly dumb like Tokyo does. It just looks dumb.
So basically, they just remade Deluxe Tokyo with metal.
Yeah.
With the few die-cast parts, it looks
like. This seems like a Band of America plan.
It does. I'm wondering if they didn't take their inspiration.
Has Tokyo been selling well?
Well, HLJ put it on
Andarake for like 3,500 yen right about now.
And HLJ had it for like 40% off discount during their sale a couple weeks ago.
So not that well?
No, I don't think so.
I'm not sure how many people are going to pay 12,000 for it.
Not that many?
Of all the Sentai mechs, this one just seems kind of random. If it's not even like really.
No, you're missing the big picture. The grand goal for the Tokyo mechs is to build a giant wall Megazord that will stretch across the entire globe. So you see guys checking trains side by side like a picket fence.
Now I could see this Chogokin thing if it was like die-cast metal for structural reinforcement because of all the stuff they plan to add on top of it.
Right.
As the series
but it doesn't
progresses.
Look like that's the case right now.
It looks like it's just the feet, a few...
Is it compatible with the current one, or is it a different size?
It looks to be the same size, and it seems to at least be able to attach the car carrier, so it should have the
same...
So
it'll probably be a connect the other ones, too.
It looks like the same thing, but with a few small die-cast bits.
Okay, that's odd.
Although they are about halfway to the wall combination right now, because we have our first look at the Super Duper mode, Chocho Tokyudayo.
I love that name.
I still want to just call it Choo Choo.
So the thing I love about this is it adds Ingeno G6's alligator skates.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
With Tokyo 6's stuff.
Yeah. You also get the bra, which is pretty great, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we're already up to...
Ingeno
Samurai
G9... Howl.
We're already up to Samurai Howl level, and we haven't even reached halfway through the series.
And Ingeno G9 got a sunglasses bra for Speedor.
That's true, it did.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, it looks stupid as hell, but I find the more hideous Tokyo gets, I find it even more and more endearing for some reason.
Yes, exactly.
So it's like
Super Tokyo looks so stupid, but it's still kind of cool to see it, like in this week's episode, it just flipping over a monster and shooting it as it goes.
So it's like
it looks
the
so
inverse,
stupid, but it's still doing good.
It's the inverse Go Busters thing, where the more stuff they piled on Ace, the worse it looked, but the more stuff they pile on this, the better it looks.
Exactly.
Well, because with Go Busters, it's like you got the fun they thought it was cool. They were trying to make it cool.
Mm-hmm.
With Tokyo's, like you get the distinct impression they're like, let's see how dumb we can make this, and it's glorious.
It is.
It's like a monument to stupidity.
And secondly, it fits with the theme.
This is something a stupid kid would imagine and think is cool.
Yes, it's just like the kind of stupid shit you come up with when you were 6 years old. Like, what did you imagine to add to, you know, the Megazord when you were a kid? It was probably pretty fucking
stupid. We didn't have a Megazord when I was 6 years old.
Well, I had one when I was 8.
Mickey, what did you have when you were 6 years old?
One second, let me think.
Transformers?
I'm going to say either Transformers Season 3 or Season 2.
And the stuff you probably imagined was probably pretty f***ing stupid.
So I didn't create a lot of new stuff. Actually, what I did most of is, since, you know, I was too poor to afford toys.
Oh, okay.
I made, like, paper doll Transformers.
Oh, God.
And I designed them so you could fold them ways and transform them.
I did similar things, except not Transformers.
Barbie?
No.
Multiple Men?
No. Power Rangers.
That's not such unsafe behavior.
No.
Folding multiple
men. You
only
got a paper cut back there.
Oh, dear.
Oh, a Tokyo Toy Show had the premium shop arms change Apple Riders, didn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
The last big surprise for Gaim, probably, is a one more arms change 2-pack featuring the movie-exclusive Kamen Rider Kamuro and Kamen Rider Mars.
Damn them.
Mollus.
No, apparently it's Mars.
I don't care what the official English says, it's not Mars. That's not how the katakana works.
It's written as Mars in English on their card.
I don't
Bandai
care.
Bandai in English. Bandai in English. Think about that for a second. Bandai.
Kondol.
Yeah, there you go. Tajdol.
Yeah, I'm kind of irritated these are being released as a 2-pack, because I probably could have swung one of them. But 2, as a premium exclusive, that noise.
Yeah, 7,000 yen for both is kind of pushing it.
That's to start. You're going to add on middleman fees and then shipping, and no. Just no. No.
They're not out till way after the show's over, unfortunately.
And secondly, I don't really understand this blue apple nonsense. What the f***, man? But apples are not blue and silver.
No.
Couldn't you go with green? Something that makes sense.
Yellow,
green and yellow.
Yeah.
Red and yellow could have worked also.
I still think they're saving red for the show.
But he's in the movie promos.
These both could be in the show for all we know.
Yeah, they could.
And it's a crown that neither of them have a nice crumble on top, because that just improves apple products so much. Get pies or cobblers.
What about wrapping them in some American cheese?
What?
What?
You've never seen that?
Oh, Lord, Kent, you are from the South. You have seen apple pie with cheese on it.
I actually haven't.
Huh.
Are you blind?
No, I guess...
Do you have eyes?
I guess we're just more dignified than that.
No, you live in Georgia.
That's a good point.
Okay, well, when the show's over, recording tonight, go to Waffle House and wait for about 3 to 4 minutes, and it'll show up. It'll probably have a cigarette butt in the middle of it, too, but, you know.
Get some chicken and waffles while you're waiting.
I'm good.
still don't understand what the deal is with chicken and waffles.
I don't, and I've lived down here my whole life.
Sometimes people are extra hungry.
Although, speaking of waffles, on Cutthroat Kitchen last night, Alton Brown, one of the screw-over things, was making a panini using a waffle iron.
Yeah.
Which hilariously Ben had actually done the night before.
Well, I guess he would have won then, wouldn't he?
Yes.
You have a waffle iron?
Uh-huh. We make waffles in it.
Why haven't you ever made me waffles?
Because we didn't have it last time you were here.
Oh.
It's new-ish.
That would explain why I never saw it before.
Yeah.
Mickey, I demand waffles.
Well, the waffle chef will not be here when you come.
Are you sure this time?
Pretty sure.
Because you said the other day it wasn't so sure.
It's more sure now.
Oh. Well, how hard can it be to make waffles? You just dump some Bisquick in the thing and turn it on, right?
I think you actually just put Eggos inside it and just heat them until they're ready.
That would probably actually work better than a toaster oven, though. I always have to flip the waffles when I do them in the toaster oven. But our toaster oven's not very good. It's about 40 years old. What were we talking about?
Somewhere that were waffles, I think.
Apples?
Oh, and cheese, right.
Apple waffles? Ew.
I don't know about that. Although I could totally go for some apple cinnamon muffins right now.
I know, you can put apples on waffles.
You can do apple cinnamon waffles.
But what about having the apples inside the waffles? Mm. Like little chunky apple bits.
No, I think if you got one of those Jiffy apple cinnamon muffin mixes, and, you know, you did the batter like they say to do for pancakes, and you put it in a waffle iron, I think you could actually make apple cinnamon waffles.
No, that wouldn't work because Alton said you can't use pancake batter in a waffle iron. And
well,
that's
sure
true because Ben tried it and they taste like shit.
I'm sure you can modify the mix so that the batter will be correct for a waffle maker. Look, waffles can't be this complicated. People make them all the time. That's why frozen waffles are such a big business.
So, Paladin, news.
Okay, first DLC characters are announced for Batride War 2.
Oh, I missed this. What are they?
Shin Zangetsu and Kiwami Arms.
Are they free DLC?
Yes, I believe so.
Good. Excellent.
Very nice.
Although, also kind of probably not going to be great.
Well, yeah, Kiwami Arms.
Well, no, the DLC characters for the first Batride War were severely underwhelming.
Maybe they got it right this time.
Well, you know, also it was Wizard, Diamond Form, and Super Beast, whatever the hell their names were.
Beast Hyper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were terribly boring to play as, but again,
yeah,
could just because they were Wizard, I don't know.
Seems like
can never rule that out.
I don't think I used either of those when I was playing your copy.
Yeah, I think I advised you not to.
I mean, why would I anyway?
Actually, I think you only tried, like four characters out of, like, what, all of them?
The fun ones. No, I tried more than four, because I think the last one I did was Kiva Doga form, because the hammer was so amazingly overpowered.
Hammers are great.
Just pounding away.
Your mom.
Ouch.
Paladin.
I don't think there's much else this week, except that premium Bandai ticket puppet I mentioned last time isn't quite as show accurate as some people would like.
I'm a little disappointed.
It may not be as show accurate, but it's completely as horrifying as it needs to be.
Yeah, there is that.
That's true. But it's also only, you know, $30.
And it's still like a fantastic spank puppet.
Wouldn't it, though?
But
well, speaking
still
of that, we also saw Figo Art Sailor Neptune and Sailor Uranus.
Disappointment.
What?
Why?
Why?
Neptune looks fine. I don't like Uranus's face.
I haven't seen them.
The sculpt in Uranus's face is just kind of off-putting.
Maybe it'll look better when it's final production.
People always say that about Bandai products. They never do.
Shut up! Shut up! And bam.
The stuff Bandai usually puts on the show floor is about the same as what we usually get.
Shut up!
She looks a little...
Her expression is weird looking. She doesn't look angry or stern. She looks like she's, like, farting.
Yes! Yeah, and Neptune looks fine, but she doesn't look right.
expression. I'm actually impressed with how they handled Neptune's hair. That looks pretty good, I think.
On the other hand, don't most of them come with different expressions sometimes? So
they all do.
So she'll probably have.
I thought that was a first release bonus.
So no, they all come with some expressions, but so she at least come with some angry yelling face, I should hope, or else they should just stop.
But this is probably supposed to be her bitch face, and it's not very bitchy.
No, it's not. Is it bad to say it almost looks a little too feminine?
No, it's not. She's too thin.
Well, that's the body, though.
Yeah, I know. They're just sort of recycling bits.
The only thing, I mean, the legs are different on most of them, but the
I think the legs is how they adjust the height, but the torso piece appears to be exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah, something just doesn't look right. Yeah, maybe alternate faces will be better, hopefully.
Yeah.
This will be the first step that doesn't have any alternate faces.
And it won't come with this little dagger thing.
Oh, that would be bullshit.
There's always a way for them to find bullshit.
They can always ask us. The only one with a weapon that can cut a bitch, and she wouldn't come with it, of course.
No, Saturn's got the glaive.
That's true.
The glaive that destroys the universe, or whatever.
that's a good point. Saturn shows up so irregularly, I haven't seen stars yet, I know.
Well, it continues a trend. If Saturn shows up, shit's gotten bad.
Yeah.
And Pluto fights with a key, because she's from Kingdom Hearts.
That seems actually oddly fitting given her role in the series.
Anyway.
I think that's about it for new stuff this week. It's kind of slow.
Your mom.
Right.
No, your mom's quick.
Got to make it up in volume. So, Ken, how are those pork rinds?
What pork rinds?
The ones you've been eating.
I haven't been eating pork rinds.
Mickey?
Pork rinds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, f*** you and your democracy.
Democracy?
Yeah.
We're having democracy again? What are the flavors? Pork rind?
Well, no, it's Baja Blast and Baja Blast. You need to vote between the two.
But I don't like Baja Blast.
Yes, you do.
No,
that's why you voted number one.
No, it needs to be more sour. Did we have this conversation a couple weeks ago?
I don't know. We don't really talk about much different, so probably.
We talk about a lot of soda. But soda is so good. Unless it's Baja Blast.
Or Pine Cone.
I still want to try that someday.
Have fun with that.
Well, pine smells great. How bad could pine-flavored soda be?
Sounds like an XP challenge.
Okay, fine. Give me $25 for the bottle of pine syrup.
Haha, sucks for me. I don't have $25.
Yeah, sure sucks to be me.
Sigh.
Well, it's okay, Ken. At least you don't live in Detroit.
Yeah, there's always that, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. I don't know why Paladin keeps going back.
Yeah, Bot Cop lives in Michigan, too. What if he and Paladin are the same person secretly?
I could see that, really. That's why Paladin won't tell us what he does for a living. He's not clever enough to come up with a complete cover story.
None of you have asked nice enough.
But define nice enough.
I'll just define it as nice, which is impossible on superhero time.
Tell us, now.
I mean, how much more nice can you get than Paladin? What do you do?
I push papers.
With a broom?
No, that would be more entertaining.
He's the janitor from the end of Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons.
Okay, that was the first thing that popped to mind. Oh, I was trying not to show my age, but then you just...
Rocky and Bullwinkle is timeless.
It was until they made that movie.
What movie?
God, that was a piece of shit.
Look, some things are always funny. Rocky and Bullwinkle, The Three Stooges, and I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Well, not until they made that Three Stooges movie, too.
What Three Stooges movie?
You keep talking about these things that don't exist. Are you okay, Paladin?
Let me check. Nope, still Detroit.
Oh, I thought you were going to check your polls.
We would also have accepted still superhero time.
That's what I was expecting, actually. Give me a curveball.
It's never all right. It's superhero time. I'm going to save that as an intro quote, too, just because I kind of like that. Plus, I need more from me, usually. And Fort Max. Fort Max doesn't talk enough anymore. Of all the things I never thought I would say.
That could almost be a cold open just itself.
You know what? Let's rectify this situation right now. I was gonna have Paladin do Tokuger, but you know what? Fort Max, you're doing the summary this week.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Thank you, Mario.
Go for it! Go! 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 Go!
Now, previously, on Tokuger, General
Stalling.
General Schwartz went ahead and took the monster away before it could get blown up by the coupling bazooka.
Previously, yeah. 24.
Previously, on
like
X-Men.
Bazooka. It makes it sound like a f***ing thing.
It does, doesn't it?
So,
all of the mecha are very phallic, so.
But train terminology.
Trains are dirty, apparently.
Yeah, you're been on
yes,
one?
Yes, they are.
Takes him into one of the dark liners, pulls the lever to activate the bondage system.
Not inaccurate.
To tie him up because he needs use of his power to turn the dark liner into a magical dreamland.
Of bondage?
Apparently.
Well, Schwartz is into some kinky shit.
I wonder if Grita knows what she's getting into here.
Oh, she certainly does.
Hey, they might fit together after all.
You just got the mental image, didn't you?
When latex enters latex, it's
magic
magical.
Happens.
When the rubber meets the road.
And back on the Russia's, back on the Goku Express, it's shopping list time. And right being right, there's trouble deciding what he wants, and then just lists off pretty much everything he can think of.
Yep.
By the end of the series, right is going to be f***ing enormous.
He hasn't gained a pound in 16 episodes, though.
Why would he ever imagine himself gaining weight?
He just imagines, always being hungry. My God, that's probably correct.
And then... But then lights flicker. It's a dark. It's a shadow line. Shadow line transform, and oddly, there is no stay behind the white line.
Well, they're already on the train.
True.
Why would
the white line be outside the train?
Probably
outside the doors.
It's kind of like when they transform in Gaim when they're in Helheim. There's no zipper over them. The fruit just appears.
I had not noticed that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Really? Also, I'm not sure. I don't think Overtime's been doing this until the past couple weeks, but I noticed that they've been actually translating like half the credits now.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's up with that. Fort Max?
I don't have a problem with it. I think it's kind of cool, actually.
It's just random. Like, they started reading the credits.
I'm just curious what the motivation was.
I think they figured,
that.
Why not? I mean, most of it doesn't change anyway, so they can just stick it in with the lyrics.
Yeah.
I mean, Grimms and Spandex was doing that for Kaku Ranger, at least.
I think it's kind of cool. Plus, you get the voice actors for the Monster of the Week also in there.
So back at the playground, first of all, this is an awesome slide.
You know, it looks pretty awesome until you think about your testicles getting caught in one of those rollers.
Ah!
But that's why you don't slide. But that's why you don't slide not wearing any pants.
Okay, but if you go down in shorts and your shorts ride up.
Oh no.
Well, now, granted, I'm assuming kids don't have this problem, but say you're 80.
Notice the kid. The kid is sliding on his shoes. I think that's important to note.
Good, yes. They're playing the older sister's busy on her iPhone, and hey, it's a Darkliner. They're going to take him to the land of their dreams.
Come on, kids, we have candy.
No, what I like about this whole setup here is that basically they've ripped off the entire plot of Labyrinth. Where she's sitting on her cell phone wishing, saying, man, I wish the Goblin King would come and take my little brother away.
Then he does.
Yes.
But there is no baby throwing.
And no shiny Bowie package.
Yeah, we don't get to see David Bowie juggling his balls.
And Tokujers show up trying to stop the kids from getting on the train, but kids ain't having any of that shit.
You know, they need a better way to stop those kids.
Yeah.
Like a net.
Uh-huh.
Or a foot. Like, just trip them. Seriously.
Yeah, knock them down and sit on them.
So, of course, crows come and to keep them from interfering.
Not that they were doing a good job stop interfering in the first place.
Yeah. And Drawing starts moving. Wright tries to jump onto it, but gets
right
knocked back
by
the black line because clearly he doesn't value his life.
Like the line lands right on top of him too.
Yeah. So they jump on again. Three of them manage to get on without a problem, but Fink and Blue get
Kagura and Tokati.
Yeah, Kagura and Tokati end up bringing along the older sister with them, who thinks that they're the ones that kidnapped her brother. Of course, they wake up in
Helheim?
Yeah, well, they wake up in what looks like
No, they did that already.
Wake up in a regular train car with, of course, older sister, older god to Kagura, and Kagura holding on to Tokati by the neck.
I'd like to point out here that apparently the Shadowliner train car looks much more like an actual train than the Tokyo Line Express does.
Like, it looks like
it is an actual train. Their budget only goes so far, you know?
It probably is.
Yeah, it looks like an actual, like, commuter train rather than, like, a long-distance train.
That they rented for an hour to shoot this scene.
Or
it doesn't look quite so much as a cardboard set.
It's not so denliner.
Actually, it may be just one of the unused ones that they have sitting at the train yard that they always use.
This is probably the same thing they shot that episode of GoBusters in anyway.
Oh, shit. Probably is.
And, of course, the reason why the older sister thinks that Tokujers are the ones that kidnapped her brother, they look suspicious.
Well,
they do.
Yeah.
You can't really fault her for that, you know?
Those crows look completely trustworthy, though.
Totally.
Those crows are like the most glorious thing of the entire episode.
In the entire, almost in the entire series.
Hula crows. And waiter crows.
And hula crows.
I said hula crows.
Oh, you were yawning. I couldn't.
Hula crows? So, of course, she runs off. They don't know what traps might be waiting. And suddenly, they're in that one indoor water park that they always use.
It's always
except
that
now it's on a train.
It's Toei. It's always that one place. Or another.
So, but only about this plot here is it's quickly evident that the villains are saying, okay, we're going to satisfy all these kids' dreams.
And then we'll take them away.
Yeah.
Two of these kids' dreams to sit beside the pool and get fucking plastered. And that's awesome. Bring me some Mai Tais and a Bahama Mama and fuck off. I'm getting lit.
They're all like 10.
So, of course, hula
and
crows.
Two of the boys want to be hula dancers, which is, says
yeah,
a lot.
They're still on the train.
Yeah.
And, of course, and yes.
Yeah, Takati is trapped in a endless cycle of food. He's doomed. Not Takati, right.
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 You say trapped, but really, I feel like it's the other way around. The food is trapped with him.
Is he really doomed?
Well, the world's doomed, I should say, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
Next car over is the restaurant, of course. Everyone's cake.
Neo has ice cream.
Yes.
Neo has her ice cream, and Wright has his everything.
And
it's all his.
Terrible.
Don't touch it.
What's that?
It'd be amazing if, like, when they woke up, like, Wright was strapped to a bed and he's been starved to death the whole time. That's why he's always hungry. And he's like a skeleton of skin and bones.
So he has to eat.
So that's why he's always so hungry in his imagination, because he's actually starving to death in real life.
Wow, that's dark.
Yes, realize that the only reason that Sister Takati and Kagura are all right is because they got knocked out when they came aboard. So now it's space.
Sure, I'll buy that.
So find Kakaru playing with the control plane that is badly composited in the shot. And Schwartz comes in.
Schwartz enters the scene, then chokes a bitch immediately.
Yeah, that's just how he rolls.
He is
a bitch, tosses up to the others,
around.
And then opens the sunroof. opens the sunroof to...
Later, bitches!
Yeah. Pulls three out, and now it's time for... So, of course, then it's... Of course, call all the kids over to the space car, to the closet, and, well, to the bondage closet.
Don't say it like that.
Is there a right way to say it?
That's exactly what he did, though, is the thing.
No, please say it that way. That's an intro quote.
Yeah, I love that the Shadow Express has a sunroof.
expressly there just to press a button and kick people out.
More trains need ejector cars.
Schwartz comes prepared.
He's the smartest character on the show.
Is that any of you assholes are going to come here? Sup? Later.
I still can't get over who just walks in the scene with his hand out and immediately goes straight to that woman's throat.
He's like, you are not supposed to be here. Go away.
I'm not going to waste any time like f***ing Vader would.
Throws her to the ground.
So, back at the playground, they're figure that they'll go use the police Russia to catch up, and oil dry offers to come along. They say, no, since she couldn't see the shadow liner, she wouldn't be able to see the police express either. So, since she doesn't have any animation, then she's, of course, worried that, she must have the bad kind of imagination, because she was hoping for the Goblin King to kidnap her brother.
What's done is done.
Yeah. So then, of course, she then goes up on the slide, goes down, and imagines the, whatever her brother's name is.
She probably doesn't know it either.
Her imagination, it's fairly alarming. She's imagining that she's straddling a giant jumbo jet between her legs with her brother right in front of her.
Wasn't there an airline that got in trouble for that?
It's the type of imagination that Freud would have a field day with. Or, superhero time.
Yes.
We're
a lot like Freud.
Oh, that we're frequently wrong.
Leave my mother out of this.
Everything's about penises.
And everything's about your mom.
Yeah. and about penises in your mom.
Yes.
Wherever they'll fit.
Superhero time, the internet's most Freudian podcast about tokusatsu.
we're still missing the mountains of cocaine, then.
Ken, work on that for next week. That's your new challenge.
No comment.
Well,
clearly,
well.
The mountains of cocaine was all used up in the 80s by Toei.
No, they had better shit than that.
They had fancy Japanese designer drugs. They're mixing cocaine with californium and shit.
So, and using the police express, they catch up to the Darkliner. So, Kagura and Oi jump on and start searching.
Kagura and who?
Oi.
Owie.
Owie.
Owie. Okay.
Ouch.
Exactly.
And the thing is saying, like, Oi. Like, Oi there!
Sorry, I'm... So, they open up the bondage closet and suddenly get a face full of smoke.
So, first of all, I love that, you know, Pink and Owie jump on the train and we completely forget that Takata even exists for the rest of the episode.
And until the Rainbow Line shows up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well,
and meanwhile, the others are still in the dining car chowing down.
Yeah.
I do like that they just run past them.
Yeah.
And there's a mountain of plates next to right.
Yes.
I love this because it does, you know, show Kagura just kind of like going in there and doing her own thing.
Yeah. I want to see a curry eating contest between Wright and Marvelous.
You were saying, Mickey?
Well, first of all, Marvelous will lose because Marvelous never eats his curry. Just take it away from him.
Yeah, it'll get blown up in front of him.
No, Wright would steal the
focus episode where she looks competent.
Yes. And actually saves everybody's asses.
And, of course, the bondage closet is, of course, full of darkness.
Oh, God, why? Darkness and children.
Yes. I don't know how they can breathe in there. Smoke.
It's okay. A little secondhand smoke is good for you. Builds character.
So, builds asthma.
Fighting Holdrone gets Schwartz for a little while till she gets knocked out of more that she can see the others coming to rescue her. So she imagines herself whacking the other three on the head with a paper fan.
Sure.
Because why not?
That's the Japanese equivalent of a nun with a ruler, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
No, they have nuns there, too.
I like when they're
I think it's more the Japanese equivalent of someone using a shepherd's cane to pull the bad performer off stage.
I like how, like, when they come out of it, Hikari's like, oh, crap. But then when they're rushing off, Wright takes
Wright takes one last bite.
Takes one last bite. You know, Kagura's about to have her head chopped off by Schwartz, but he needs to have that one last bite.
Well, he is the lunch leader.
Yes.
Clearly. I find that I'm liking Wright more and more with every episode as he gets more and more insane.
Yes. What,
as it becomes less heroic and more, there's something seriously wrong with this guy.
And also with every
I like it more.
With every episode, you begin to see that I think Hikari really is the actual leader. Like, that wasn't just a joke. He is the one that actually knows what's going the f*** on, while Wright just kind of...
He's going after the food.
He's going after the food and flailing his way through it otherwise.
So, of course, wondering if they were hearing Kagura, if they heard Kagura, come in, shoot Schwartz.
Get their ass kicked by Schwartz.
Yeah. She transforms again, and then, oh, hey, the Darkliner gets handcuffed with a gun pointed at its face.
There's Takati. He did.
He arrested a Darkliner. Just the still of it there in the cuff.
It looks a little,
bad, but, you know, cuffing it is one thing. The fact they had the other half of the train come up and aim a gun at it.
Yeah.
That's just the icing on the cake.
Yes.
It is something that I wouldn't mind that. I mean, it is perfect background image.
Yeah. Kind of is.
And yes, he announces that he's apprehended the Darkliner.
Okay.
Yes.
Good job, Takati.
So after getting the kids out, time for round two. Pull out Super Highway Buster.
I like how they just go straight for it, and yeah, it actually works this time.
Well, they already had the first round of the fight.
They did, last week.
Yeah. So, and Kagura decides that she'll fire it, so she fires Super Highway Buster, paper fan version.
A million slaps.
Yes. Pretty much working just like it does in Smash Brothers.
And now, when they call the Rainbow Line, one thing I noticed is, like, when you get all of the trains lined up, there's something that actually looks kind of cool about it.
Yeah. Oh.
I do like the set work they do for all of it.
Yeah, and with the good set work, it, like, all what is it about now? We have 10 of them now?
This is 8.
That's 8, but then there's also the fire and police ones that are not using there. So we didn't have
yet.
So
10 rushes total.
Shield. Well, 11.
8 in the combination.
Anchor and carrier.
There's 8 in the super combination.
Part of Isolo.
Yeah, there's 8 in the super combination. So yeah, when they're all rushing together, all in the line.
Yeah, police,
cool,
fire, shield.
Oh yeah, shield, but that's not here either. So yeah, there's 11.
Yeah, I do like the way the super mode combines, actually. They just all line up together.
Yeah.
And run right into each other.
So, of course, after a bit of fighting, we have the bad guy version of the finisher. Complete with, of course, the alternating eye lights, and, of course, with the monster providing his own sound effects.
Yes.
So you decide that, okay, well, let ourselves get hit.
Kagura, that plan is retarded.
And Wright goes with it anyway, because it's a plan.
It's a plan.
It's pretty much the last thing someone said to him, so that's what he's going to go with.
Yeah. But what happens next is really fucking cool.
They break apart again
in the air
form, and uses the gun cannon blasters.
Flip right over it.
Yeah.
And then Grand Prix.
Yep.
I kind of take issue with the translation, though. He says, "I've been hammered." They should have had that. You know, I'm getting hammered.
So,
hello.
What if he just got nailed?
Thankfully, they.
So when they come back, shopping's been done. Mio and.
Everybody got their damn food.
Yeah, they got their food, but Mio and I am terrible with their names.
Hikari.
Are stuffed because, their brains are all messed up from imagining eating. And of course, Wright comes in, he's going to eat everything because he didn't eat his fill before, so he still has plenty of room left.
Oh, and then he gets a full f***ing tray of food.
Yes.
He's going to be so fat.
Oh.
I'm going to switch his stunt actress to the Samurai Gold.
But one
and
last thing.
Of course, one other thing. Wagon brings out either a repainted Fi's gear toy case or the cast case.
I think it's the Forze thing that Kingo carried around.
Oh, the chip on his shoulder?
Well, that never left.
And yep, it's the Tokyo 6's Change Hurrand Express.
Yep. And seeing a little bit of him in motion, I really love this f***ing design.
I like how it's introducing everybody's train quarter. You have all the Tokyugers with their ears up against the door trying to hear what's going on in there.
Well, what's going on there is the show is teasing that owner is going to be Tokyo 6.
Even though
we all know that's not true, but...
Because in the preview shows otherwise, also.
Yeah. No, it's going to be Ticket. Yeah, so... Tokyo Corrugator.
Yeah. So the new guy's a construction worker, or a rail worker, it seems.
So do you think his morpher comes under a two-year contract, or is it got to get a card to renew it?
Well, considering that he'll have to show up for the Versus movie 2 years from now, that's actually pretty accurate.
Hopefully I won't have a data cap.
And yes, next
we get to see him in the preview for 17.
Yes.
Yeah, band conductor gets his ass handed to him by a door.
While Schwartz gets his ass handed to him by six. Apparently.
I get the feeling that Schwartz, his position in the show is about up.
It's coming there, yes.
I'd say probably early to mid-20s he'll be gone.
Yeah. He seems like a distinct possibility. He's starting to be the kind of character who I think is going to, you know, try to, you know, usurp Zed, and then, well, that's not going to end well.
No, he won't usurp Zed. The one that's going to usurp Zed is going to be Captain Top Hat.
I think both of them are going to try. I think everybody's going to try and do that eventually, actually, at this point, except maybe Noir, because Nero and Schwartz both seem to have their kind of, you know, side things going on.
Yeah, Tokyo has definitely been getting better.
While Noir just wants Zed to bang her daughter.
She's a weird mom.
She is a very, very weird mom. That's one way of putting it. Oh,
daughter is so fat, I have got to get her laid.
I just noticed the best part in the preview. Wright tries to give the guy that's going to be Tokyo 6 orange juice. He's just a can of orange juice. That's the best thing.
So, Gaim?
It's not the best, but it's good.
Speaking of oranges.
Goddamn golf. Why couldn't we have seen this already?
So, I like that we get the Orange Ranger when Coda stops being orange. can't have that much orange in 1 hour, apparently.
Damn.
I know, you must be so brokenhearted.
So anyway, Gaim 33. Now, last time the Invest invaded the city. And now Kota is searching for his sister, who decided to go ahead and evacuate while he wasn't home. Thanks, Akira.
Yes.
I guess the writers ran out of shit for her to do.
Well,
not quite, because meanwhile, she's made it to one of the supposed pickup locations, but other people are telling her that there is no help coming, and they're going to have to make their own way out of the city.
I've also noticed they stopped doing the cold opening. They just, like, showed
up.
Yeah,
but they stopped that 6 or 8 weeks ago.
They did, but I just only now start to notice, like, oh, they're consistently doing this now.
So just at that moment, a small child runs into her who has lost his mom, and two of them have to take off running when an Invest appears nearby.
It's totally going to end well. Guys.
Yeah. See, now, if this was a Garo series, in like 3 episodes, Kota would find some location where his sister's remains and the little kid were, where, you know, Invis had already eaten them.
Yeah. Or they turn into Invis.
Well, whatever.
You can't rule out either one yet.
But that's right for the best part of the episode.
So, somewhere in the digital world, the heads of Yggdrasil's other major branches are having a conference. Everyone thinks Takatora dropped the ball and allowed the Helheim situation to come out in the open. An argument about who's actually going to end up in control of the overall operation is interrupted by Ryoma, who has just signed onto the Google Hangout.
Guy speaking English is hilarious.
He's Australian,
yeah,
you know.
Face again.
Head of the Australian branch.
Sure.
So what do we have? Australia, China, and France?
France, yeah.
Yeah.
France?
And according to Zeta, the French is accurate, is good French.
Hmm.
So we know the English
is hilariously
good.
Overacted French.
Well, kind of like the English is hilariously overacted.
Just like
French.
The Australian guy's English.
So we know the English is good. We know the French is good. I guess we're just going to assume the Chinese is good.
I guess. It's probably easier for them to get somebody who speaks fluent Chinese than it's going to get somebody who speaks fluent French.
Yeah, that's true.
Japan probably doesn't care if they get Chinese right or not.
Probably, yeah. It's like I said, you know, guess. You sure? Yeah, guess.
Just make it sound stupid. We don't care.
Because Ryoma's about to f*** him over anyway.
Yeah, so Ryoma starts...
gets onto them for not acting on... gets onto him for acting on his own and lets him know that he won't escape their investigation.
And see, then Ryoma starts explaining all the interesting things he's learned and how ultimately it amounts to that he doesn't need any of them anymore. Because Ryoma has made public Project Arc, ruining the chance to save anybody and destroying Yggdrasil.
That is a surprising... I mean, of all the dark things that Gaim has done...
Yeah, well, it gets a little darker from here, too.
Yeah, it gets worse. I'm like, holy... Because, like, there's a lot of fridge horror to it, because you're like, holy shit, imagine if that actually happened. How the world would react, and that's not a good thing, especially...
Well, and so all the writers are gathered at the Gaim Garage watching the news.
The answer is not good.
No!
So there's plenty of coverage...
The government has resigned.
Worldwide economic collapse.
Yeah, there's plenty of coverage about what Yggdrasil planned to do and how that revelation is basically ruining civilization.
Hey, guess what, kids? The apocalypse came early.
But nothing's really talking about Zalame, where all the fruit monsters
are
rampaging around
the
city.
Like, who the f*** gives a shit about the one Japanese city?
Pretty much. So phones and things are still not working, and Maya's worried about not being able to reach Michi. Minato suggests he already evacuated, but Maya's sure Michi would never turn and abandon his friends. She reads too much Tumblr.
Yeah. She was Tumblr is the best answer. I do love, like, seeing, you know, Oren and Minato and Jinochi just around with the others and interacting, though.
And being heroic.
Yes! Yeah. Which we'll get to more.
Not being jokes and not being dicks, but actually being heroes.
Which we'll get to more later in the episode.
So Kota comes back reporting the invests are everywhere. Big surprise. And Jonouchi worries about how many people... Jonouchi worries about how many people might be trapped since no proper evacuation was actually conducted.
So they look
and,
at...
You know,
so they
Zach...
look at... They look at a Grand Theft Auto map.
No.
Not yet,
they're looking at a sideways map of Gotham City.
Oh, is it Gotham City? Okay.
Yes.
But, yeah, but...
We figured that out.
So Zach figures the police or the military will come and help.
Which means Joseph Gordon-Levitt's going to blow up the bridges again.
Zach still believes in the inherent goodness of people. But Minato...
Of all the people to believe in that. Holy shit.
Well, it's kind of accurate.
It is, but...
Yeah.
Still, considering...
Minato has to break the news that the city is Yggdrasil's problem officially. The defense forces aren't going to do anything but contain the situation within the city's borders, which will be easy since they are on a Grand Theft Auto map.
Yes. Batman Grand Theft Auto is basically the same now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, of course, Yggdrasil basically amounts to Minato.
At this point, yeah. But nobody else knows that yet.
Yeah.
So Kota doesn't think it's possible, but... to contain the Invest outbreak, but Kaito realizes that he does only have a few ways in or out, and it's easy enough to blockade them off because he watched Dark Knight Rises.
Sorry.
They always...
I'm sorry about that, Kaito.
they always had planned for this outcome, and Kota's pretty pissed about it, but Kaito wants to focus on the problem right now and calls for whoever is ready to go fight to join him. Minato stops him and dumps a bag of radios on the table. Partly as a show that everybody needs to work together at this point. And then Mai starts acting as a strategist, and because they're all somewhat brain damaged, I assume, everyone, even Minato and Oren, accept her plan.
Yeah, I gotta call bullshit on that aspect.
She's one of the ones who's lived there her entire life.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, but you know what? You can live somewhere your entire life, that does not make you a strategist.
Well, look at it like this. She's not going to do anything else. They don't necessarily have to listen to her. They can go out and do whatever the f*** they want.
They don't have to, but they're going to.
But this keeps her, you know, that way she's not in the line of fire, so Kota won't do anything stupid, hopefully.
Oh, like that's going to stop him from doing something stupid.
No, it's not.
You know, to be fair, though, Mai's kind of only one who's actually kind of thinking with her head on.
Yes, it's true.
Because Kota's off in La La Land. Kaito is kind of crazy about power.
Yeah.
Strength.
Difference. There's a difference.
Yes. My baby useless, but sometimes she does seem like the sanest one in the scene.
That's not entirely inaccurate. Plus,
she is pretty much the only strategist they have that isn't Michi.
Well, Orin could strategize, but he's going to be out there kicking people's asses. So
yeah, Orin's more useful in the field, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So elsewhere, Mitchie and Reguay have a Mitchie and Reguay have a nice chat in the crack room at Yggdrasil, and Reguay announces that all that's left is to obtain the fruit of knowledge so she can take over Helheim and Earth, but she needs Mitchie's help. She needs someone that understands humans and how to control them. So she wants to make Mitchie the boss over the people so she can just have fun ruling everything. Mitchie decides that this is his opening, and selling out his own species until he can gain the upper hand will work out just fine.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Of course, what she's then basically asking him is like, hey, you're going to work for me. That's totally going to end well. It'd be like if Galvatron comes back in G1 season 3. It's like, hey, Starscream, I know you try to take over here, but I'm not going to shoot you. Why don't you, work behind my back where you won't stab me?
Actually, this is more like Starscream asking Starscream to be his lieutenant.
Yeah.
Someone who should clearly know better.
It's like if Prime Starscream came down to G1 Starscream and like, hey, you seem like a cool guy. Why don't you work for me?
Mitchie decides to leave to go try to murder Kota again, and Reguay gives him a helper.
Like, just straight up, he's like, I'm gonna go destroy Kota.
And Mitchie recognizes that once this is meant to be a watcher and make sure he doesn't betray Reguay. Good luck with that.
Also something else, but we'll get to that.
So, Kaito's slicing up an invest and asks Mai where to head next after he's done.
Wait, this is an important note. Kaito won against an invest.
Well, it's just a champion level, and he is Sour Banana this week.
I know, but I'm just saying.
He's not fighting a rider.
This is still significant.
And he's not fighting an overlord either, so...
One. Still, give him what he can take. Come on.
It is badly needed experience points.
Exactly.
And he uses, and I think that's a new finisher he debuted, too.
Kota's used it before, I think.
Has he?
Yeah, when he fought Minato back in the garage and all that, I think. And, Mitchie, his first chance to shoot Kota in the back was, missed.
Whoops.
That's fine. He made up for it later.
So Kaito and Mai have a nice chat about the city and how it seems all dead now, and she's sad. So Kaito tells her to just dance because that's her strength. Dance and the people will come back because Kaito believes she has the power to gather people near her. But she thinks that's his power because, thanks to him, all the previously separate riders are now working together, even Marika, because of his ability as a leader. Also because she wants his banana.
She might not be the only one looking at this scene.
But anyway,
she's not really wrong, because Kota really has done shit to unite anybody.
This is true. Yeah.
Kaito kind of has, just without even trying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not entirely inaccurate either, because say what you will about Mai, she did kind of gather the beat riders together.
So a crack form.
So basically they're king and queen of the prom. That is the Wame City.
So a crack forms near Kaito. He breaks off contact to charge toward it. And is he supposed to be like jumping through it to go to the forest for some reason? Or... That was kind of unclear to me.
He's going to be busy fighting, probably.
Well, nothing was coming through it yet.
So they need the actor to be away next week?
I don't know. Is he going to be in a play?
I don't know.
Anyway, Kota gets back about then, and Maya's all flustered and decides they should abandon the command post to go get lunch.
Because of course she does.
May leave the communicators on, so... Or Miley's hair's on, at least.
Because the juice bar is still open. Because Bando wants to keep supporting his employees, and he tells Kota to stop asking dumb questions like, why are you still here doing this? And eat his fruit gruel.
Because he's contractually obligated to appear in so many episodes.
But Kota's not very hungry since he's been wearing the driver all day, and his lochte has kept him topped up. Plus, he thinks the food is a bit bland anyway. Bando says it's impossible that his cooking could suck, but before we can think any more on why Kota's losing his sense of taste, I get to call on the radio.
Cough.
Yeah, his sense of taste and his hunger.
Well, the hunger thing is credible if he's been wearing the belt with the lockseed equipped all day.
Yeah, but yeah, it's almost like a little too close to O's for comfort. I'm like, I think we said this last week.
Well, last week I was talking about Blade.
Yes.
Because that was the Blade ending.
It's true. So it's not just done it, so, you know.
So Kota's turning to an angel to save the Church of Martell or something.
Something like that. Sure.
Okay, so Mai gets a call on the radio, and Minato is spotted in Overlord. Kota takes off to back her up, and when he gets there, smooth as ever, Kota literally asks her, "Hey, why did you betray Yggdrasil?"
Our hero, ladies and gentlemen.
But the reasoning is sound. He can't be sure of her loyalty without knowing why she did that.
That's true.
And, you know,
it's not like he has anybody, he's used to people, you know, stabbing him in the back or anything.
You know, it's Yggdrasil, or more to the point, Ryoma that betrayed her, so she gave up on him, and, you know, Kaito was still around, so...
I'll type that.
And she needs a man to follow. I mean, she is a woman after all, right? I mean, that's how things work.
She is the Pink Ranger.
I mean, she can't just strike out on her own because she's probably going to kick everyone's ass by herself.
Right. Although she doesn't really seem to be that anymore either. So sad.
Well, her fresh
Pink Ranger
suit has worn off.
Well, yeah. I mean, her reasoning does line up to how she's been earlier, where she just wants to see how somebody's going to, you know, do things.
She did basically get her ass kicked by Daimushu, so I'm guessing she understands she doesn't have a chance against the Overlords.
Yeah, nobody really does.
At least not on her own.
The Alliance is in everybody's best interest.
Well, Daimushu was also jacked up by the time everybody got a hold of him at once, so hopefully it won't just be, you know, only Kota that can kill them. Hopefully.
It probably will be.
Damn it.
So, meanwhile, Michi is watching from a short distance away and advises his overseer to go after Minato so Michi can take down Kota. The Overlord wants to know if Michi is really going to kill someone that was his ally, and Michi is perfectly Michi about it. His allies are the people who do what he wants them to.
Oh, well.
He's not a sociopath or anything.
Totally not! It's not like he's, you know, prone to going crazy.
I love how Michi has gone from the most boring character in the show to, like, the most evil son of a bitch.
And Ryder ever.
Like, he's consistently despicable every single week.
Like, yeah. it's like,
it should count as negative character growth because he's gone in such a terrible direction, but it's all perfectly believable the way they've written him.
And it's the thing.
It's amazingly well done.
I'm trying to think if I've seen a character in Ryder that is really just that despicable in general. And this is considering that, you know, they've fought demons and shit. And I mean, like, even the Greed were kind of, you know, you're sorry to see them go. And even Kazali.
Well, no, I was only sorry to see Uva go.
Uva?
Yeah, but there's something tragic about the Greed, too.
There's something tragic about the Greed. And, you know, then, like, Museum, they all ended up sympathetic by the end. Even Yube, to an extent. He just kind of went crazy and died in a fire.
Well, I mean, they, you know, at least the Museum folk all had, like, they may have been doing bad stuff, but they had their reasons for it.
Mitchie has his reasons, too. He's a shitlord. But,
I mean, they thought they were working towards something better, just it wasn't for everybody.
Like, you know, and I hate, I mean, I guess maybe knowing what little I do about Wizard, maybe Gremlin, but still.
No, that, not really. I'm serial killer.
Yeah, he's a serial killer. That's what I'm saying.
Everything that he does was so that was to kill people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's pretty terrible. But even then, Mitchie
but
is
then,
you know,
that's
doesn't
over
mind
the
people's
top
back.
People, though, that
at
stops
least
being effective. As
at least,
a, as a
at least Gremlin.
Thing.
At least Gremlin was honest with what.
But see, with Gremlin being a serial killer, that's the type of evil that you can't really connect to on an emotional level. Everything that Mitchie does,
you remember,
you can
he was
imagine because it's
nice
pretty close
friendly.
To home.
Yeah, he has always acting nice and friendly with everybody for half the series. Now he's like, you know, trying to. He thinks he's killed his brother. He's trying to murder his best friend.
Well, and the thing about it, too, is if you go back to the early episodes, Michi was still this Michi before. He just couldn't be it openly because he didn't have his own power.
That's the thing. He's still not
he was
being
doing,
it.
He did this to Sid in their first meeting.
He's still not being it openly. He like, in his mind, you know, he's like, I'm going to murder Kota and then I'm going to go bang Mai and she's never going to know the difference. In his head.
Uh-huh.
And that's the frightening part.
Because he thinks, he probably thinks he's completely and utterly justified in every single thing he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
That's why
he's like the actual hero of the show, right?
Oh,
right.
Oh, totally, totally. Not the main villain or anything.
No, no.
Not totally.
I mean, after all, he hasn't killed his best friend.
Yet. It's not been for lack of trying.
So Minato and Kota talk about people who seek power, and she wants to know what Kota plans to do with his power. Not now, but after the fighting's over. And Kota doesn't really have an answer for her.
I love that she poses that question, because it is a good question, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so what do you do afterwards? Like, nobody...
She has to go back to painting walls?
Like, it's kind of like how nobody ever... Like, the supervillain never, you know, wonders what they're going to do after they take over the world.
Except Doom.
Except Doom, but, you know, Doom. Doom, come on.
Yeah, Doom.
I mean, seriously. That's not a fair comparison to anybody. In this case, neither does the hero. He's like, because he didn't even know what his life was, you know, before he became a writer. Now he still kind of doesn't, even if he saves the world.
She says Kota's never going to defeat Kaito, and Kota doesn't even get why they would need to fight. But the Overlord attacks, interrupting the whole thing, and ends up reflecting Gaimon Marika's sonic arrow shots back at them, and is able to beat Minato out of her transformation, because Pink Ranger.
Well, of course, the answer is...
Because Gaim is still using Jinba for some damn reason.
Better than starting with Orange.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's because that toy is still on the shelf, so it's not moving.
And it's not gonna now.
Well, no.
What do you mean, still on the shelves? It's a Gaim action figure.
That's true.
They're not as hot as they were 6 months ago.
Still selling, though.
The Overlord...
That's just natural gradual decline. That's not...
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not saying it as anything bad. It's just, you know, they're not what they were to start with.
I could even get some if I had money.
Yeah, the Overlord starts running away, and Minato tells Kota to go after it and not worry about her laying there on the ground smoking. Kota gets sucked down into the pavement up to his knees, so the Overlord can land an easy hit. It wants to avenge Demushu. Which, that pisses Kota off enough that he goes ahead and jumps to Kachidoki. And then Zangetsu appears.
Whoops.
The Overlord manages to pin Kota against a railing and is about to strike him, but Zangetsu slashes at the Overlord to knock him away and starts punching Gaim in the face with a bow and arrow.
Damn! Bitchy has some issues to work out, apparently.
Really?
He's apparently been training under Kaito.
Zangetsu's about to get the...
So what is this weapon normally used for? Oh, to shoot? Okay, so here's how you're going to not... You're going to use it wrong.
I wonder how Kaito
it's a giant
hammer.
It's a giant brass knuckle.
We've seen how Kaito uses a hammer. He uses it like a spear.
He uses a spear like a sword.
So he uses a sword like a hammer?
Probably.
This is some kind of round robin thing, right?
Yes. Yes.
If Kaito had Kachidoki arms, he'd use the DJ gun like a javelin.
He wouldn't even convert it to the sword mode first. He would throw the rifle as
gun.
A
gun. Yeah, he'd throw a shotgun at someone.
I know it's so f***ed up with the rock, paper, scissors system and of, like, lance, sword, and axe, and fire emblem.
So Zangetsu's about to get the upper hand because Kota is not willing to fight Takatora, but Bravo appears and announces that Zangetsu is an imposter.
God Zangetsu's... bless you, Orin.
Zangetsu's movements are completely wrong, and I'm glad somebody finally noticed that.
Okay, I'm
wrong.
It's
so appropriate that Bravo is the one to notice that, too.
And Bravo's even able to kick Zangetsu successfully, which would never have happened otherwise.
Yeah, like, okay, the conference is not my favorite part of the episode. This is my favorite part of the episode.
It's not as beautiful melon.
No, but it's not even...
He'd recognize those beautiful melons anywhere, and those are not them.
And it's not even just that. It's like, as a soldier, he would recognize somebody's fighting style.
Fighting
like that.
Style,
like,
yeah.
He got his ass kicked by him multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. He doesn't fight anything like Takatora because he can.
No, and he hasn't for as long as Michi has been Zangetsu.
No, and that's been really good, you know, attention to pay, especially because, you know, other people can actually stand a chance against him, which they couldn't before. It took 3 energy riders, you know, pot-shotting him behind the back to actually try and kill him, and they still
mm-hmm.
didn't.
So Bravo gets shot with a sonic arrow for his trouble. Kota believes Orin and gets even more pissed about being deceived this way, so he moves on to Kiwami. Michi is irritated that Kota has gained yet another new power, having missed his showy entrance the first time.
I love that reaction. He's like, another one? What the fuck?
God damn it!
And suddenly he voices a lot of collectors.
Kota starts giving the Kiwami ability a good test drive after using Mango Punisher by first calling up two Kurokage spears and then dual-wielding sonic arrows, which was kind of cool looking.
Yeah. One of them is the Kurokage spear from the summer movie.
Because they probably only have two props to use right now.
Yeah, it's the one with the curved point.
They have three props?
They had to modify
the flamethrowers they're throwing around.
They had to modify one of them permanently for the movie, probably.
I love what he does with the shield and the hammer, though.
Yeah, he blocks an attack from the Overlord with the Melon Defender before kicking the Gridon hammer at the Overlord, subduing it for a moment.
And besides the kick, he never grabs either of them. He just summons them and uses them and then uses one as a projectile.
So he does the same to Zengetsu using the Orange Slice Muso Saber before going full out with the Strawberry Lock Seed and the DJ Gun, which sadly does not machine gun kunais at Zengetsu and the Overlord.
And now he just...
It should have, goddammit.
It should have, just like Cosmic State should have had a chainsaw missile launcher.
I missed that. I'm so sad that never happened. But regardless,
You get a fruity explosion.
It does a projectile version of Kiwami's finishing
rainbow,
attack.
Basically.
So Michi dicks over the peacock.
Yeah. So hey, monster of the day, Engaim. Yeah. What the fuck?
He throws him in the path of the blast so he can escape. As the Overlord curses him for being a traitor. Imagine that.
Well, it kind of makes sense to be getting monsters of the day now, considering that we're not probably getting any more rider suits, so that the costume budget can go back to monsters.
Yeah, I suppose, and they can still reuse all the champion level invests as they need to its filler.
Because we looks like we get another one next week.
So Bravo is still pissed off about the whole melon imposter thing, and you know, because his beautiful melon.
Because of course he is.
Meanwhile, Michi is just a bit frustrated because Kota keeps getting stronger, and he's not even having to murder siblings to get his upgrades.
A bit frustrated and going a little crazy.
Maniacal laughter.
But Michi realizes that, hey, who cares how strong he gets? It's still just dumb, old, easily manipulated Kota. He'll get another chance to stab him in the back, or shoot him, or maybe push him down a well, or... There's a lot of train tracks in Japan, right? The possibilities for betrayal are endless!
I gotta give props to his actor. He's really doing a good job. Just like this, like he's like showing this like he's got this like whole descent into madness thing down.
Yes.
Yeah. He is gonna be so typecast.
He is, and he goes even more crazy next week. It looks like.
Well,
actually, it is 2 weeks for us, but it is this Saturday. Also, Redon with the watermelon lock seed. In the preview.
Oh, how's he going to screw that one up?
Well, he was competent, you know, and when they were fighting Demushu, so you never know.
Gridon's not a screw-up anymore.
He might actually kick some ass.
Now that he's not being comic relief, he can be a regular rider.
He can be useful.
But also, best part of that preview is Kaito just leaning on Michi. Like, sup?
So,
that's with Minato in the background. So that is two people that know what Michi's shit is.
Yeah, that's one thing I've been wondering for a while. Shouldn't Minato know that it's actually Michi working as Zangetsu now? Why doesn't she rat him out?
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that too, but I think Minato's probably still hedging her bets a little bit.
It's as smart as Kaito. If Minato is, she probably realizes Kota's not going to believe her. Because Kota still, if they told him...
Because after all, this is Michi. Michi would never betray him.
Yeah,
right.
They won't believe that Michi has betrayed them until they actually see proof of it. Kota won't, at least. My problem.
Yeah, he's going to see Zengetsu untransform and be Michi before he believes.
Though we might get that next week. Who knows?
Maybe.
So do y'all think Michi is going to survive until the end of the series?
I'm kind of
close to
it.
I'm doubting it, but...
I think he'll make it at least to episode 40, if not a little bit farther.
So you don't think he's the last...
No, I think that's going to be probably Sagura.
Sagara or Kaito, maybe, even.
It'll be a showdown between Kota, Sagara, and Ryoma. I think it's going to be a three-way thing.
Possible.
Yeah, because Ryoma still has
still
to...
a lot of possibilities, because, I mean, it could be... I don't think it's definitely not going to be Takatora at this point.
No, if anything, Takatora is probably going to join the team if he gets back.
Could be Roshuo, maybe, if they kept him around that long.
However long it takes him to get out of Helheim again.
Except Roshuo is just indifferent. He's not openly antagonistic.
So far, but he also, you know, Cherry Crush.
But I mean, that was Cid being Cid.
Yeah, that's true. But he's still f***ing powerful.
Yeah.
And they keep putting that original Zangetsu suit in the intro, so I'm guessing Takatora will use that again.
They haven't changed anything about the intro.
I want to see Takatora in the original Zangetsu suit just beat the shit out of Zangetsu.
Mm-hmm.
Just through sheer skill alone.
He could. He would could. Do it.
I want to see it happen.
I want to see just make Cid transform again.
Yeah. Or do something. At all. But, okay, so it could be Ryoma, could be Ryoma, Sagara. It could be Kaito. It could just be a final showdown between, you know, Kaito and Kota over, you know, whatever.
No, those two will team up for the end.
It could. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
At this point, I would also guess that Kaito fights Ryoma and wins to prove that he is truly the powerful Lemon.
I could see that. The lemon's kind of like the Bee's Nectar in the series, so.
Yeah.
Considering like
I'm expecting at least once to see after Michi gets beaten as Shin Zangetsu that Kota will finally do Jinba Melon.
I kind of think the reason that Kota and Kaito both use lemon so much is because the showrunners knew they weren't going to be using Duke very much, but they're like, yeah, you still have to advertise as Lock Seeds. So they're like, huh.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. We'll do that.
Yeah, like the most airtime Duke got was when he was in the super secret science bunker, right?
Yes. Yeah. For 2 episodes.
Uh-huh.
That suit was a waste of money.
Well, yeah, they didn't get near as much mileage out of that as they did Kurokage.
Well, this, you know, there's still time to use.
Well, he's not dead yet. They might still get a little more out of him.
They could be saving him for the final third act.
Maybe. Well, if he ends up being, you know, a primary antagonist in the last story arc, I guess he'll need the suit.
Probably.
More. He'll need it at least one more time.
I like that we still have no idea exactly where this is going.
Yeah, that's kind of refreshing.
You can get, I mean, but still guesses still are not seeming to pan out.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's refreshing. I like that the series is still throwing surprises out. Good writing. I enjoy it.
I think part of it is that there's enough wild cards on the table that you can't tell which is the final goal for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still
just hoping they have enough time to play out all their cards, though.
Oh, they will. This is planned well enough that I'm not really worried about stuff going hanging. I just really hope they do avoid the Blade O's thing, because that's a little too obvious for what the series has been doing so far. They're playing that one a little bit heavily, which makes me think that's not what's going to happen. Not going to be what happens.
Maybe Kaito will die in the next last episode to a slow, sad version of theme song.
Oh God!
Come back to life in the last episode.
Oh God! No! They did that shit again in Wizard.
No, it needs to be Michi though.
No, they didn't. We established that Koyomi didn't come back to life.
It needs to be Michi. It needs to be Michi.
Sort of, kind of in the movie, kind of like Ankh did, but didn't.
It needs to be Michi. He'll die in the next to last episode, then come back redeemed in the final episode and be everybody's friend again.
Oh, I would.
Oh, sweet. Discotech just announced that they picked up Orgus.
What the f***?
Those are silly words.
I know what that is, but... What the f***?
Discotech Orgus. It sounds funky and sexual.
Discotech Orgy.
What the f***?
We haven't had a really good Fort Max non sequitur in a while.
That was a good one, I'll admit. But... wow. That was a thing that happened.
Superhero time. Just watch the shows. It's faster.
Power Rangers in the Lost Galaxy. Magna Defender, Power Ranger.
Not afraid of any danger.
Cool.
Magna Defender, Morpher, call help to fight evil forces.
Power Rangers in the Lost Galaxy.
Takes on a fierce and awesome form. T-Lex Defender, Torazor.
Power Rangers in the Lost Galaxy.
Power Rangers will unite. Fight.
The Magna Defender Collection. Batteries not included. Each sold separately. From Bandai.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
Last week's power playback failure. We went for something reliable.
Something cause, safe.
Because Ryu Kendo has never let us down. And it still didn't. And although it'd be funny to me to tell Peldon to do the summary and then not let anybody else do it, I guess we'll just dispense with that. And Mickey, how drunk are you?
Less so.
Well, then it won't be as fun as possible, but you can do Ryu Kendo.
All right, so we open up here with the Death Star firing a laser out of its flower-shaped crotch.
Yes! I open this episode, and I see this, and I'm like, yes, yes.
Yes. I'm
a little disappointed we didn't do the previous episode, but yes.
Yeah, but after how bad 39 turned out in Rescue Fire, do you really blame us for not risking 39 of this?
No, I don't. Especially considering it's the same production company.
So, after the space robot fires its crotch laser at Ryu Kendo, he proceeds to fly his lion armor through the urethra of this penis and blow up the Death Egg. Or something.
About,
I don't know. There's no context for any of this.
Because it can't be
second of the episode.
I think I'm happier not having context for this.
It can't be about vaginas all the time. Sometimes it's a penis.
Enter quote.
Which part?
All of it.
Sometimes part.
Continue.
So, episode opens mid-coitus with the battle going on of Ryu Kendo and Ryu Gunno fighting the Purple Bat People.
Purple Bat People, their official name.
Until Ryu Kendo notices one of them is filming them with a camera shaped like their head, which is amazing. And upon realization that he's being filmed, he starts to pose.
Idiot.
Yes. So at the secret lair of villainy.
Also the official name.
Grandpa's his name. I don't even have a clue.
What does it matter?
Anyway, point being, that camera captured their moves and downloaded them to USB keys. And now they've studied all their moves and powers, and now they'll be unstoppable.
The best part the first part of that scene is that one purple bat thing is crawling back in.
Okay.
So as Grandpa Dr. Man is ogling Metal Whore jumps down on their pot of stew.
And basically says, look up my skirt.
Yes. Anyway, he drops the keys into the broth, and whoops, they've actually accidentally made a shitty monster.
Oh, they realize it this time.
It wasn't the shitty monster he had planned.
They've birthed this horrifying Miyazaki face condom.
Yes! It looks like no face. I'll know what its colors reversed.
So old Dr. Man is like, you know what? F*** this shit. I'm going to bed.
You know, I gotta give him credit.
He knows when to throw his hands up in the air and just be done with it.
Yeah, this is over.
And so Metal Alice decides, oh, okay, well, I'll make use of
Alice.
KKK monster. And she turns around, and, oh, he transforms into Grandpa Dr. Man.
I'm so glad Mickey is doing the summary.
I just wish he was a little more drunk, because this could be even better than it is.
Can it really?
I think so. If he was,
let's
if he
find
was,
out.
If he was a little more plastered.
So if I had more stuff to mix with, I'd be drunker, but I won't. I mean, I suppose I could mix it with cayenne powder, but
probably
not.
Oh, shit.
Probably not ideal.
That's a spicy meatball.
So Alice takes her condom monster downtown to go f- with the villagers. And coincidentally, she runs into two enormously fat Japanese women. Now,
for Japanese women,
I say yeah. Japanese women, but it's pretty clear just by looking at them that they're American. Because no Japanese person could be this large. There's not enough room in their apartment for it.
And then we proceed to get one of the...
Chuck was right in 30 more episodes.
Then we proceed to get one of the best scenes in the episode.
Yes, while they're all...
Well, isn't
getting...
that every just about every
just
scene?
Shut up, Fort Max.
Yes, so they're on the street getting moist looking at a poster of some actor. And, oh, shit, what the hell happened? Monster transformed into one of them.
Yeah, well, yeah, first, I think, like, some flyers went blowing away. And
monster transformed
into chase
one
after
of them.
The point is, the condom monster transformed into one of them and slams the poster over the fat woman, other fat woman's head, you know, Looney Tunes style. Monster exit scene. Original real fat woman shows back up. And we get this hilarious Three Stooges scene of them just slamming this poster board on top of each other over and over and over again. It's amazing.
So what's impressive is that they keep doing this, and they keep doing it hard. And it's all in the same shot.
Uh-huh.
That looked painful.
What's Japan? They don't have actor's rights.
Apparently not.
Look at Garo. The one in the not, you know, flower so much.
In general, actually, considering the actors do most of their own stunts regardless.
But still.
Yeah.
So, Inspector Uncle shows up and he tells him to calm down. And then camera pan out and, oh shit, the whole city has gone nuts.
Boy, Condom Monster works fast.
I know.
So, another police officer enters the scene and is furious with Uncle Dude, whatever the hell his name was. I don't even care.
That is his name now.
Because he hate his lunch from his mom, or his wife.
Wife.
Sorry. His wife, yes.
And said it was horrible.
Cue flashback to the monster transformed into the cop. With the lunch smeared all over his face, delighted, saying, "This shit sucks!"
So I do want to say one thing. Whenever this cop opens his mouth, it really makes me somebody other than TV Nihon could go back and redo these shows. Seriously?
The dialogue's a little awkwardly phrased.
Uh-huh. Well, the fact that he...
More than a little.
Well, the fact that, you know, part of it's in Japanese.
Thankfully, slapstick defies the language barrier.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So about this time, Ryu Kendo and Ryu Gunno show up untransformed to try and sort matters out. And about 7 seconds pass by, and they get into a fight with each other without the monster's help. Because they're terrible people who hate each other very, very much.
Well, that actually seems pretty accurate so far.
That sounds like us, to be honest.
Yeah, but there's five of us.
There's only two of them.
Right now. There's a third that's around somewhere, but he doesn't show up.
He's never been in an episode that I've seen.
That's right, because you missed the bathroom episode, didn't you?
Did.
Yeah.
That's a shame. You should go watch that sometime, Ken.
To give me a number, and I might.
19, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's well worth watching. It's solid greatness from the beginning.
If I remember the episode number off the top of my head like that, you know it must be good.
Yes.
That's the first Nintendo we did.
Yes. Yes, it was, because I sold it just on the basis of that bathroom stall scene, and the entire episode was beautiful, and that's when we started doing more. Like a year later, but still.
So, Kendo and Gunno decide, yeah, screw solving this problem. Let's just go argue off into the sunset. So they wander away fussing at each other while their girlfriend complains in the background.
She's one of the operators at the base, right?
Probably.
Yeah, girlfriend, like she said.
Suddenly out of nowhere, Kenpo girl shows up and decides, round everyone together, I'll teach y'all how to be friends again through the power of kicking each other's asses.
Well, it worked for Skyrider.
Well, this is true. No power-ups this week, though.
So the special training begins. The whole town is there gathered in the gymnasium, beating each other up with sticks, and they're all delighted. They feel much better now that they're trying to hurt each other. except for Kendo and Gunno, who are
really
more
furious. Get into it.
Yeah, they're more furious than ever, and they're actually trying to kill each other.
And Ryu Kendo kind of has an edge on it because he actually knows, like, a sword technique.
Yeah. Hence Ryu Kendo.
Yeah.
And Gunno just sort of sputters with impotent rage.
Because they didn't have any wooden guns for him to use.
They couldn't even give him, like, a bar of soap or something?
I'm making an intro quote, because that's going to be great out of context. Thanks, Felden. Way to contribute.
You're welcome.
Samurai Girl catches the two of them fighting for reals, yo. And bonks Kendo on the head with her stick and drags him away by the ear saying, enough of this shit, you're not doing this right. Alice and Condom Monster look into the windows and decide, this is boring, let's go. So, Kendo and Gunno leave the scene and continue to argue and be bitchy to each other. And as they're being bitchy, Condom Monster shows up disguised as Samurai Girl. And says, you want to be manly? If y'all had a duel to the death, that would get me so wet. And they're like, yes, I want your blood on my face. Let's go kill each other.
Oh, each other's blood, not her blood. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, sorry.
I thought this turned into a completely different kind of show for a second.
No, it's not Garo.
Not what I was thinking, but anyway, go on.
So, we have a wonderful little fantasy montage of Kendo as the most Afro-samurai ever. There's the samurai cliche, he's using it.
Then some? Similarly,
Gunno is using every Western cliche this side of Italy.
With super soakers.
Well, that's what it looks like! Remember the opening to World's Biggest Umbrella?
Yes.
Because this is totally the same style of thinking. I love the show for it.
We flash back to reality, and there's a girl in a big wheel and a baby stroller strolling by them while they're off imagining themselves being grand. So they decide it's morphing time, and then Morpher's like, y'all are being retarded, we're not helping you, you're on your own. It's stupid. Direct quote from the Morpher.
It's always a problem when your transformation device can talk back.
So, Secretary Girl shows up and finds Samurai Girl egging the mom and says, hey, who the hell are you? I'm your friend, the Samurai Lady. Then the real Samurai Lady enters the scene. And the jig is up. So, blah, 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 dull duplicate fight. We all kind of know what's going on there. I've lost track of the episode. What the hell is going on? Okay, well, picking up from where I've got the episode at right now. Kendo and Gunno have transformed and run off to a parking garage.
Because there's always that parking garage.
Yes. Where they decide, enough of your shit. Let's just kill each other and get it over with. So, they fight for a while, and then Gunno blasts Kendo out the window. Kablam, he's dead.
Hooray.
Oh, wait, haven't we, didn't you skip the part where Dr. Man comes out and sees what's going on?
I probably skipped a lot here.
I don't think it was really important besides his nightshirt.
Yeah, his jammies are pretty fantastic. So, this leaves Ryogundo and the duplicate monster in the parking garage by themselves to have a duplicate fight. Which eventually spills out into the street, and Gundo switches to sword form and stabs the bitch to death because the monster had not seen him use his daggery parts of his swords before. He had no counter for it.
Daggery parts?
I don't know. Yes. Look, I'm losing interest in the summary. The point is, after he stabs him the balls, Ryukendo comes blazing out of the garage on a motorcycle shaped like a lion and runs him the f*** over.
As you do.
Yes. At which point, Kendo and Gunno reveal to the ladies that, oh, it was all a clever ruse. We didn't actually kill each other at all.
You don't say.
And Secretary Girl is not
happy. What a shame.
She punches them both square in the face and immediately draws blood.
Apparently she's really upset that neither one of them died.
It really wasn't a ruse after all. They were pretty much actually trying to kill each other until they stopped later.
They tried to play it off.
Yeah, Fort Max, they were totally trying to kill each other until they stopped. Thank you. Thank you for that, Fort Max.
Yes, well, my shitty summary aside, it was a good episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, the summary had its highlights.
Yeah. Oh, and then the part where Grandpa Dr. Man rips his pillow apart in rage.
Yeah, this episode has a weird over-the-credits epilogue to it.
Very melancholy, too. Like, what the f***?
Well, typically, doesn't Ryukendo end with, like, them doing the duck-duck-goose red light, green light game, or whatever the hell?
That's later.
This is pretty late, because this is like episode 4.
Well, don't remember exactly when they... I think they may go back and forth.
Ah.
See, that was Ryukendo, and it wasn't disappointing.
Yep.
Pal didn't feel bad for missing it.
Yeah.
So, next week, since we're not going to have any weeklies to talk about, are we still going to do Biohunter?
Sure.
Oh, that just two parts?
Biohunter Silva?
Yes.
Ooh, that's been subbed.
So now which episode is that?
Whichever the last two that are out are.
Thank you, Fort Max. What if another one comes
that
out in the meantime?
Be...
That would be
37 and 38.
They're getting up there finally.
And then I was thinking...
How many?
50-something?
Yep.
So I was thinking then to follow that up, we could actually do, like, a Power Rangers episode for playback.
Sure.
An episode that I'd gotten thinking about recently for some reason was the episode with the airplane.
Where Kimberly's in the airplane?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Done that one before?
I don't think so.
Huh.
But here's the question. Original or Generation 2?
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
Do we have access?
They're on Netflix,
right.
Hmm. Interesting. That might make it more fun. Very well. We will watch the Power Rangers remastered version of that's Foul Play in the Sky, right?
Yes.
Okay, that
oh,
almost...
Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, just be glad it's season one.
And look, we got two episodes that are guaranteed to be good because it's Bioman. We can deal with 15 minutes of Power Rangers Remastered no matter what. It'll be fine. We need to fill time next week.
Crap.
It worked beautifully when Giga was on last week. We actually went over time.
And space.
Maybe.
Beyond all time and space.
beyond all space and time.
So the English version got it backwards?
Yes.
Good job. Not like I can understand what they're saying anyway. That and English Gingaman, they're very incomprehensible.
Someone needs to sub more Gingaman, too.
That is actually what Million Fold Curiosity is doing, is working on now.
But have they actually released anything yet?
Not yet. They released the rest of Ghostsager last week, so...
Well, it's good to see they got their priorities in order.
Yeah. Totally.
Fort Max, can't you get them to do, like, you know, Ryu Kendo over?
God.
Or, you know, something with substance?
Yeah, Ryu Kendo.
Ryu Kendo. That'd be great.
They did Mega Ranger.
Yes, and one day I'll get around to finishing that, but still. You know, Ryu Kendo or something else that's TV Nihon only and desperately needs updating.
With, you know, actual video quality. It doesn't look like Vaseline's been rubbed on the lens.
Fort Max, have you ever gotten, have you ever done encoding for Ryu Kendo DVDs or anything like that?
I have done them.
Yeah, so get somebody to sub them for us. Use your amazing fan-subbing world connections and make it happen.
I've tried.
Try harder?
Can't you just copy-paste the script from TV Nihon?
Yeah! Oh, that's hilarious. It's adorable, bless your heart.
I bet TV Nihon's original scripts don't even exist anymore.
Scripts?
Well, there had to be script at some point to hard sub the episodes with.
They probably just typed it in as they went. That way nobody can copy them. See?
Right. The scripts only exist in Takenoko's head.
Yeah, see? Nobody can steal them. Because everybody totally wants to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Not the competently subbed ones that you can just rip right off the MKV. I mean...
God, what is that?
It's a doll. Yeah.
Christ!
Right.
I'm not sleeping tonight. Thanks.
I don't really see what the problem is. I don't get it.
I'm glad I prefer Dick.
What's the problem, Ken?
I'm just going to leave you with my reaction. Just that...
Yeah, Ken, totally come hang out with us at the end of the month. Think of all the fun we can have.
Oh, my God. If I have money.
Because we're gonna marathon the first three Transformers movies.
Yeah. That
actually does sound...
And then watch the fourth one.
I'm trying to decide if that sounds great or horrifying.
Well, mostly horrifying, I think.
Well, you like swarms of things, don't you?
I'm afraid to answer that question with you guys. Swarms of things.
Multiple men? Multiple swarms?
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Okay, well, I guess we're done.
Okay, then.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
What's stopping?
Bye.
Night.
Until next time.
Like or not.
Paladin, you're so depressing.
The like it or not was me.
Yeah, but you didn't sound like Eeyore. Like, after he got told he had cancer.
Man.
Wow.
Sound cheerier, Paladin.
Is that why Eeyore's tail fell off?
Why?
Because we're in show business. You have to sparkle.
Eeyore didn't.
He sparkled on the inside with sadness.
Superhero Time. 次回もよろしく。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.